Hey now, welcome to the jungle. A very good Tuesday morning to you. My name is Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. I am also live in the Quicken Loans studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Quicken Loans. Great to have you here. Let me set this Tuesday show up for you. We have an enormous hour number one. In fact, one of the best hour number ones. Let's get at it. Phone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. We are front loading today. What that means is I've got three interviews, but they're in the first half of the program. In fact, two of them are in hour number one. So that does not mean you should not call. In fact, what that means is you should call. Maybe get into the first segment, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So why am I so hyped on hour number one? Coming up in about 15 minutes, Mets ace Noah Syndergaard. He has never been in the jungle before. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard. Coming up right after that, Porter Moser, head basketball coach at Loyola of Chicago. Final Four coming up on Saturday. In hour number two, the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks is back, Bill Self. So three excellent interviews, all in the first half of the program. You want to hit it right now. Once again, toll free. Use the phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Also, this morning on Twitter, I tried something new. You know, I'm cognizant of the fact that we're picking up new listeners, and the reason we're getting new listeners is we have new platforms. We have a TV show now on CBS Sports Network. The radio show is also carried on Sirius XM, so we are adding new listeners or maybe picking up listeners that we used to have back in the day, and some of you are having a little bit of trouble following what's going on. So to acknowledge that, I tweeted out, if there's a sound drop on the program, because we have so much archive sound, if there's a sound drop and you do not know what it is, hit me up on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome and just ask which one you need background information on. Maybe there's a sound drop that Alvy likes to hammer that you don't know its origin or where it came from. Just hit me up on Twitter right now. I may make that a semi-regular feature. So follow me at Jim Rome. In terms of where to start today, and again, Noah Syndergaard's coming up 20 past, I want to start today's program with a warning. A warning. A four-word warning directed at the NFC West. In fact, directed at the NFC. No, I think I'm going to start with a four-word warning directed at the entire Shield, the NFL overall. Four words being, look the hell out. Two more words. Ram it. Ram it. I'm telling you, and you can feel it here in LA. Lots of heat. The LA Rams are not here to take part. They are here to take over. Remember, they took a major step forward last year with a 7-win improvement, and they won their division. The offense went from mediocre to the highest scoring in the league. They had the coach of the year in Sean McVay, the defensive player of the year in Aaron Donald, the offensive player of the year in Todd Gurley, and in Jared Goff. They have a guy who went from alleged bust to franchise quarterback seemingly overnight. You do all of that in year one under Sean McVay, and then you're going to feel pretty damn good about yourself. Maybe you even take a victory lap because you are so far ahead of schedule. Maybe you even take a step back. Maybe kick your feet up and admire your work. It's not like anybody would blame you. Hell, they'd be too busy hyping you. But the Rams have not done that. Instead, they have attacked the offseason like they were a 4-win team and not an 11-win team because they went out and they added Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Sam Shields to that secondary. I mean, Marcus Peters with 19 picks since 2015. Aqib Talib with 34 for his career. In addition to an existing stud at safety already in LaMarcus Joyner. And that's not all, because yesterday they added Ndamukong Suh to their defensive line. This guy takes less money to come to L.A. When was the last time anybody ever said that? A one-year, $14 million deal, reportedly leaving money on the table once again to sign with the Rams. What I'm saying is, and I really didn't think I was going to say this anytime soon, the Rams are a destination now. So now you've got Ndamukong Suh lining up next to the Defensive Player of the Year, along with Michael Brockers also joining them. I mean, holy hell. Three monsters on the line, and ball-hawking savages in the secondary. And then you've got the right guy to dial it all in and coach them up on that side of the ball in Son of Bum. In other words, you best not get into passing downs against the LA Rams or you are screwed. And Son of Bum knows it, just as he knows he's got the pieces. He has pieces for days now. And, of course, he's got tweets for days. And shortly after the announcement of that deal, he fired off a SpongeBob GIF. Son of Bob did. Or Son of Bum did. A SpongeBob GIF. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you see it. Man, that old dude's pretty funny. That old dude can run a Twitter feed. And you know he can coach. I mean, hell yes. Folks are feeling good in SoCal right about now. Because not only do they have those weapons on defense, and after all, isn't this what this was about? The defense keeping pace with the offense. But what do they already have on offense? Gurley, Goff, the rest of the crew offensively. And as if that were not enough, they reportedly have explored the possibility of trading for Odell Beckham Jr. Are you kidding me about that? Jared Goff handing off to TG or throwing to OBJ? It's got to be a joke, right? I mean, I'd say this was like fantasy football, except there was not a league in the world where you could actually assemble a team like that. Of course, the caveat is the NFL is not like the NBA. Dream teams do not always work. Just ask the 2011 Eagles. In fact, it feels like they fail more often than not. And it's not like the Eagles or the Vikings took major steps back this offseason. In fact, it's just the opposite. So, let's not go handing a Lombardi to the Rams just yet. Let's not go crowning their asses just yet. And there is a reason all these guys were available. I mean, we're talking about some pretty strong personalities in that locker room. Sue walks the line. Tlaib is no wallflower. Peters has had his moments as well. So, and again, there's a reason why they were all available. Part of it's financial and part of it's not. But bringing them in says a lot about the Rams' confidence in their locker room and with their coaches. And most of all, it says how badly they want to win and that they want to win right now. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it, but in Sean McVay's second year, they're all in. They're all in because a number of these guys are playing on one-year contracts. Everything just went to the center of the table. And it says right here, that McVay and at Son of Bum will handle this just fine. They've got this. Players love. And I can't believe I'm doing an entire open on the Rams. It feels pretty good to be here in L.A. And the reason I'm doing it is players love both those coaches. And they love winning. And defensive players love the schemes that at Son of Bum dials up. So, if you're winning games, you're crushing quarterbacks, you're grabbing picks, the rest of it's going to take care of itself. And the fans will show up because here in L.A., it's not enough to win. You have to win a certain way. And this team is not only going to win, they're going to win with swagger. And this town demands that and loves that, and they have it. Again, I'm not saying I'm looking to crown their ass just yet. Here's what I am saying. I'm saying they went from being one of the league's bigger embarrassments to the league's most interesting team, and maybe even the team to beat, and they did it in less than 2 years. And you cannot give GM Les Snead enough credit for dialing all of that up. An entire open in March on the LA Rams. Man, after they came back in year one, who would have ever thought that something like that could turn this quickly? Ram it. They're not only the most interesting team in the NFL, they may be the team to beat. And even better, they may not be done. I want to talk about that whole OBJ thing and whether or not that's even a possibility. Whether or not the Rams can take one more big swing if they can get this guy out of New York. And if they were to get this guy out of New York, where would that leave them? I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, great Ram, or great Rome, you talked about the Rams. Great Rome, you talked about the Rams. How long before Matt in L.A. calls? I got news for you. He was going to call no matter what. It didn't matter if I talked about the Giants or the Niners or football or soccer or hockey or the weather. Matt Nelly is going to call no matter what, so don't put that on me. I'll give him the number. Hey, Matt. Just kidding, Matt. Don't do it. 1-800-636-8686. Email number one. Dear Rome, have Alvy hit it. Ram it. B because we're going to be ramming it all season long, baby. Rams back. We deserve a team here, and we deserve the best team here because, well, we live here. And now we have the best team here. Signed, SoCal. John in Huntington Beach, lifelong LA Rams fan, as long as they're winning. At least he's being real. That's so true. Lifelong Rams fan, as long as they're winning. We didn't deserve it. We were without a team for more than two decades. Nobody cared. But they do now. And say what you want about LA sports fans. Say what you want, and you're probably right. I'm not saying we're the best fans because we're far from that. Because as you know the argument, there's so many other things to do here. That's the thing about this town. If you're not good, better yet, if you're not great, we will find something else to do. But if you are great, LA sports fans can bandwagon with the best of them. And the Rams have the look of a great team. I can't guarantee it, but they look damn good. And even better, I love that swing. I cannot tell you how much I respect a team winning 11 games and their division and being so far ahead of schedule and still taking the swings that they're taking. Big, big swings. They're built to win right now, this year. I love it. In addition to that, I do want to talk about OBJ. Major League Baseball, the opening of the season right around the corner. In fact, Noah Syndergaard's going to join me in a few moments. However, Big Sexy is back, which is good news for everybody. I've got that story for you. One more NFL note. Speaking of the NFC West, how about the Seattle Seahawks? They want you 12s to know they're not rebuilding. They're merely resetting. Hey, look, if I were the Seahawks and I did what I did this offseason, I would say the same thing. Know that that's not true. But if I were them, I'd be saying the exact same thing. All right, so all that's still ahead. Coming up later on this hour, Porter Moser, head basketball coach at Loyola Chicago. But when we come back, Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Rolling through it. Hour number one. Welcome back. Once again, I'm Jim Rome. Porter Moser is going to join me at 20 past. Final Four is set for the weekend. I've got Bill Self, the head coach of Kansas, coming up. They had a huge win against Duke. I'm really curious where he comes out on that. They've had a number of enormous victories. He's got that national championship. He's going back to the Final Four. I'm curious where he might rank that one. We'll get into that with Bill Self next hour. Porter Moser coming up about 20 minutes from right now. And I am currently efforting Noah Syndergaard, Mets opening day starter. So that's going to come up in a few moments. Hit us up. 1-800-636-8686. Now, I knew for a fact if I mentioned this guy by name, he'd call. And then again, I knew for a fact that if I did not mention this guy by name, he would still call. And here he is. Yeah, what the hell? I did do an entire open on LA Rams football. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matt in LA. Matt, what's going on? Good morning.
Fan smack. Hey, I just passed the first bootleg shop with an Ndamukong Suh old school jersey up. Hey, you know what? Even though I'm not a Rams fan, I got to give cats like Eddie and Santa Paula and the Dwyer twins much love because they stuck with the Rams through and through. I bailed on them when Frontieri was taking that thing into the ground. But you know what, Romy? I got to give them props. They're putting together a hell of a squad. And with that defensive line, it's going to be crazy. With all these acquisitions, too, like you said, L.A. needs star power. So they're either going to be flaming ridiculously like Fabian, or they're going to blow the hell up like you, my man. Hey, if we want to get you to $2 billion, we got to get you on gas station TV, all right? But that's another thing for another day. Got to give you an MLB preview, pimp. I got the Dodgers, once again, you know, going all the way. But it's going to be against the Indians this year. We're going to take out the tribe in six, and that's how it goes, Romy. Rome, hey, War Tuesday in the jungle. War Guns N' Roses pumping us up with that jungle.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. Good to have you. Hey, man, I'm angling for gas station TV. You know I want that badly. As promised, we're joined right now by a pitcher for the New York Mets. He is an all-star. For his career, he's 24-18. He's got an ERA, lifetime ERA of under 3. He was the 38th pick overall in 2010 out of Legacy High School in Mansfield, Texas. Opening day, St. Louis at New York, Thursday, 1:10 p.m. Eastern. And he is appearing today on behalf of Kingsford Charcoal to celebrate that opening day is back. Hashtag that. Noah Syndergaard is my guest. Noah, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Good, bud. Great to have you on the show, Noah. You're going to make the opening day start for the second straight year. Let me ask you that first. Knowing the history and tradition, Noah, that goes into opening day, how much does it mean to you to be named the opening day starter, and especially for a franchise like the Mets?
You know, it's just it's really exciting. I'm pretty anxious for that day. It's just a great time to kick off the start of baseball season. It's going to be an exciting 2018 season. I'm really looking forward to it.
You know, Noah, watching you on Saturday, you actually pulled off a rare feat. You got 13 outs in 4 innings and a stand-up triple. So which were you more pleased with, your pitching or your hitting, and how did it feel to leg that thing out?
Oh, definitely hitting, for sure. It was my first time getting some ABs in spring training, seeing some live pitching. Like, my timing was on point. I'm really looking forward to getting to hitting this year, actually. Just find it to be a lot of fun. But yeah, hitting a triple, especially with my speed, it's unheard of. But as soon as I hit it, I was thinking double the whole way. And then I heard the infielders start calling 4-4-4. So I'm like, I didn't even pick up the third base coach. I just ran straight through second base. And then all of a sudden they start yelling 3-3-3. I'm like, crap, you couldn't just let me have this one. But luckily I made it in standing up.
That's the best. Noah Syndergaard joining us. What a great story. Everybody was asking you about your health after last season. I know you've covered that, so let me ask you this instead. When you come to spring training this year, you're hitting triple digits out of the gate. So what were you looking to work on, or what were you looking to feel that would let you know that you were ready to let it rip come opening day?
You know, I was just really juiced in that first spring training game. Pitching against the defending World Series champions, and those guys are going to be good for a really long time. Like George Springer, Correa, Altuve, well, those guys are freaking studs. So, of course, I'm going to be a little amped to get that going. But in terms of things I was trying to work on, just getting real comfortable in the mound, just being aware of what my body's doing. I feel like I did a really good job at doing that. It was great to work with Dave this spring training. So I'm really looking forward to the time I get to spend with him.
Opening day coming up on Thursday. Of course, Noah, it's your first camp with Mickey Callaway as manager. In fact, it's his first camp as manager. So what was that experience like for you, and what's it been like having the new skipper in charge?
I think he's absolutely crushing it right now. Just the amount of demeanor and poise that he brings to a very hectic environment in New York City. Always very calm and confident, whether he's addressing the media or during our morning meetings. It's definitely when he's speaking, you stop and listen. So it's a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot, and it's great to have him as a manager.
Noah Syndergaard joining us for a few more moments. Now, you're a great follow on Twitter, and you were recently tweeting about the reports that the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to bring back the bullpen car. I got to ask, where do you come out on that, and would you like to see the Mets bring back theirs as well?
Absolutely. Anything right. That brings more excitement to the game of baseball, adds more personality and flair to it, I think it's a great idea. And put in my application to be a driver, because last year I stole the Philly Fanatics four-wheeler, and I think I did a pretty good job at maneuvering that thing around.
My man, you're ahead of me. I was going to ask you, you are a starting pitcher, but if you had the option, would you rather drive or ride in that car? But you answered that. Now, Noah, the Rangers announced yesterday they had signed Bartolo Colon. I've got thoughts on this that I want to get to later on, but since I have you, I got to ask you. They expect him to start for them on April 2nd. You and Bart got to spend some time together when he was with the Mets. What was he like as a teammate?
Oh, he's a great teammate. He doesn't really say a whole lot, but he does love pulling jokes. He always has this giant foam roller that he has next to him, and if there's any dull moments or quiet moments in the clubhouse, he'll just go up behind somebody and just bash that thing on a table or a couch, and it makes the loudest noise. And it's pretty funny to watch people's reaction. Unless, of course, it's on you, and it's not all that funny. But it's great just being able to go out, just, you know, to watch the ageless wonder do what he does best in terms of, I mean, he doesn't throw as hard as he used to. I mean, back in the day, I mean, he was pumping 100-mile-an-hour sinkers, and now he's just flipping them in there at 86 and still making guys look just as stupid. And, I mean, when I played with him in 2015, 2016, he was still humping up to 94, so that's pretty impressive to see. And just the amount of fun that he has when he goes out there. He's 43, maybe? I can't remember what his age is, but he goes out there like he's just having a blast.
21 Major League seasons in. This guy is a professional, to say the least. 44 years of age, 21 years in. Now, Noah, you're working with Kings for Charcoal and the Opening Day is Back campaign. What is your recommendation then to fans when it comes to Opening Day on Thursday? And what's the work you're doing with those folks?
You know, we're really encouraging people to just take the day off of work and come out and fire up those barbecues and enjoy Opening Day, because it's a great time for all of us to gather and enjoy some baseball, America's greatest pastime. So, yeah.
Opening Day is Back. Go ahead and hashtag that. You know, one last thought before you go. Because I'm involved in thoroughbred racing, you have the honor of a horse being named after you. Have you met the horse? Have you seen the horse run? Or is that really neither here nor there and you really don't care very much about it?
I have, yeah. I've actually met the horse. It was a couple years ago. I'm not even sure what racetrack it was at. But fortunately, he lost. He came in second place. But we're still rooting for him.
Hey, man, you know how it is. It's like anything else in sports, Noah. There are good seconds and there are bad seconds, but that's not such a bad thing. That's a good horse. Noah Syndergaard, my guest. Noah, really good to have you on the show. Thanks for spending time. I'm glad we could finally run you down. Good luck on Thursday.
Thank you.
Noah Syndergaard, Mets pitcher, all-star, Opening Day starter. Great follow on Twitter. All right, like I said, so far so good. It's going to be a big first hour. We've got that, and then when we come back, we're talking Loyola of Chicago basketball head coach Porter Moser. Joins us once again on the program. That's coming up next. Top of hour number two is wide open. I'm still looking for you, and I mentioned this in the open. I know we're picking up new listeners, and I know we've got some people who used to listen and have now doubled back, and there are certain things about the program that they don't know. If there's a drop on the show, hit me up on Twitter, tell me which one it is and what you'd like us to describe. And we're getting a lot of reaction to that. I'm going to pick one a little bit later on. First things first. Here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Our thanks to Noah Syndergaard. We are efforting Porter Moser, Loyola Chicago head coach. They're on to the Final Four. They're already one of the greatest stories ever. They win that game, they advance to Monday night. And the championship game, they might be the best story ever. They win the championship, they are officially the best story ever. And to me, nothing's even close. I mean, it's incredible. And it's not just that they're an 11 seed, it's that they're that 11 seed. So we'll get into that in a few moments. And again, I've got Bill Self coming up a little bit later on. I want to talk more about the Rams. Do you like what they're doing or not? And the fact is, they may not be done yet. Talk about OBJ maybe being on the table. Maybe they can pull him out of New York. I mean, if I'm Les Snead, why would I stop at Ndamukong Suh? Why not take that shot? The best thing about the Rams that I can say, not only are they taking their shot, not only are they pushing all their chips to the center of the table, but they're doing it without mortgaging their future. These are all justifiable risks. These are good shots to take. These are good chances. They're not mortgaging their future to take these shots. In fact, again, a number of these guys are on one-year deals. So they've got to do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. So as I'm efforting Porter Moser, let's go back to the phones. Hopefully that whoever's call I take right now, the same thing has not happened to you that happened to Matt in L.A. Matt in L.A. got cut off the last second. However, Matt in L.A. did stay on long enough for the guys in New York to put his picture up behind me. Again, clones, I'm helping you establish your brand. If you're on hold, you want to stay there. Loyola of Chicago, going on to the Final Four. They've got Michigan on Saturday. That is a TBS game. As you know, they went to the Final Four in 1963, and that team had a lot of significance, not just from a basketball standpoint, but off the floor as well. You have Sister Jean. She looks like, seems like, she may have a direct line to the man himself. But when you watch these guys play, there's a lot more to it than divine intervention. As promised, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Loyola University of Chicago. He is in his seventh season at Loyola, the Missouri Valley Conference Coach of the Year, led the Ramblers to a regular season and a tournament title this year. And again, they're going to the Final Four for the first time since 1963. Loyola v. Michigan, Saturday, 6:09 p.m. Eastern Time on TBS. Porter Moser is my guest. Porter, it is so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
Jim, I'm great. I'm so happy you had me on, too. You've had me on every step of the way, and if you didn't have me on, I was going to call in.
Porter, you don't have to worry about that at all. It's become something of a tradition. In fact, quite a tradition for you to come on the program. So there was no way you were going to go to the Final Four and you were not going to get that call. I got to ask, what is life like for you and your team right now?
You know, Jim, it's almost surreal, you know, being from Chicago. You know, as a growing up here, I was born and raised here, just a diehard Chicago fan, and to see the city of Chicago embrace this team is unbelievable. I mean, you know, the city of skyline, or the city skyline, was lit up, "Go Loyola." And I remember the Cubs won the World Series, and it said "Go Cubs." And I remember just looking at that, going, "How incredibly cool is that skyline? It says Go Cubs." And now here we are, and it says Go Loyola. And it's just it's been, you know, I'm happy for the guys, though. I'll be honest with you. When you're young in this profession, you're so career-driven. You're like, God, I got to do this. And the older you get, I've been doing this 28 years, and, you know, you're in it so much for the others and the guys. And to sit there and watch those guys, the confetti coming down, and they're on the podium with jerseys that say Loyola of Chicago, holding the regional trophy going to the Final Four. I was just staring at them. I didn't want to leave. I just wanted to hang out with them and watch them go through this. It'll be something that will connect them the rest of their life, you know, going through this.
You know, Porter, I'm sitting here in California, and I'm just amazed by the whole thing. I really am blown away by the whole thing. And for you to mention the Cubs, for the Cubs to win it was like the biggest thing ever in that town. And for you already to be mentioned in the same breath as them really speaks to how much it means and how you've captured the imagination of that city. I know you want to make it about your guys, and I want to ask you about your guys. But one thing about you, you and I talked about Rick Majerus, and you said how much you wish that he was here for this, but you were texting with Al Jensen, who you worked with back in the day, who's now with the Utah Jazz, about Rick the other day. So what types of things were you two talking about?
Well, you know, Al and I worked together, and, you know, he had shared one thought, you know, just make sure you keep routine and being normal, you know, because it can get so crazy. And I've reached out to some other coaches that have been to the Final Four, and, you know, everything is a learning process, and I just wanted to pick people's brains, anything that could help. And, you know, Al is biased. I think he's going to be an NBA head coach. He's with the Jazz. But he was with Coach Majerus so long, he was like a son to Coach. And he just said, keep it normal. Do the routines, the ballroom walkthroughs, everything, because everything else is not normal.
Right.
The whole Final Four, the hoopla, is not normal. And you got to try to keep it as normal as you can with your team.
We're talking to Porter Moser, the head coach of Loyola Chicago. I got to ask you about Saturday now. Going into that game against K-State, you had won three games by a total of 4 points. Then you come out and you smash a really good Kansas State team. So what was going through your head as you watched that game unfold?
You know, Jim, the one thing that those first couple games is we kind of came out shell-shocked defensively. And that's I had called the timeout, especially in the Miami game and the Tennessee game, the first 5 minutes. And I probably haven't gotten on my team as hard as I have in that moment in any time probably all year. And that's what happens when you got trust and love in the locker room and in the huddle, because they know how I feel about them. But when we kind of woke them up, think about this. Tennessee had 15 points in the first 4.5 minutes and ended up with 25 at half. So they had 10 the last. And then Nevada was the same way. They had 12 in the first 4 minutes and ended up with 24 at half. So what happened against Kansas State, and everything we kind of talk about with our guys, is defense dictates offense. And that's a big Rick Majerus line. And our guys from the jump were talking. They were noisy. You heard their shoes squeaking on the floor. They were moving together. And you could just see it grow their confidence on offense. When we were getting stops, we were running, moving the ball like we do. And you can see their confidence grow because their defense started out right out of the gate. And we just didn't start out of the gate the first two games defensively.
Yeah, but to that point, right, Porter, it goes back to culture. It goes back to trust and love, what you just mentioned. In fact, every time you come on, we've talked about the culture and the steps that you've taken to develop that culture. As I'm watching you guys play, the one thing that sticks out to me is the identity of that team. Your players know exactly who they are. They know exactly what and who the team is, and they don't seem to deviate from that. So when you get in these pressure situations, how valuable is it to have an identity that is that strong?
It's huge. I mean, it's huge. The belief in the locker room is one of the most powerful things in sports. And that's what, you know, and I think all these teams believe. And so it's just not just that, but I think, you know, our guys, it was really sincere at the podium when Dante Ingram hit that shot against Miami. He's up at the podium and he says, you know, any one of these guys could hit that shot in our offense. I'm just happy it was me. You know, I'm grateful. The next game, Clayton Custer hit it. He said the exact same thing. Against Nevada, Marcus Towns hit that three. And then the fourth game, Ben Richardson has his career high, and he had six threes. And it literally, truly was a different guy every night. And the guys buy into that. They buy into sharing it. And that has been our identity. I told them at the beginning of the year, you know, every team, every year, you know, you can say what you want your personality to be at the start of the year, but your personality doesn't really unfold until, you know, you start getting 10, 15 games into it. And we talked about that. You know, what's going to be your identity this year? And their identity is just a togetherness and a toughness. And they've embraced that unselfishness.
Porter Moser joining us, and to your point, and as head coach, it's got to make you so proud. Every single night, it's somebody different. Now, normally, when you haven't had the level of exposure on this big stage, it would be natural to be concerned about the moment and how big it might be and how big that stage might be. But because you've got a lot of upperclassmen, because they've got a strong identity, are you worried about how these guys might respond to what awaits them in San Antonio?
You know, Jim, there's nothing I can do to simulate what's about to happen, you know, in terms of the hoopla. But what I will say is, though, every step of our journey, there's been pressure. You know, even going to the conference tournament, everyone was saying we had to win it. And then after we won it, you know, we came back and there was a huge selection party. I mean, the hoopla on Selection Sunday was great, and then we had a whole week off to practice, and everyone was asking me, how are you going to bring these guys back to earth after winning the Valley Tournament? And then they came in, and they wanted more. I mean, I could tell, you know, just how we were talking and how the workouts were going. They wanted not just to get in this tournament. They felt they belonged. And then we won the first two, and then we come home to a hero's welcome, you know, a motorcade from O'Hare, everything. And everyone was asking me the same thing. How are you going to handle this? This is crazy going on. And they went into this part of it so excited and ready. They wanted more. And that, so all I can say is every step of the way, they've embraced the stage. They haven't shied away from it. They've embraced it because they've wanted more. Now, this is the biggest stage of all, so that's another step of it. But I can just tell you the way they are. Every film session's been locked in, every practice. They just keep saying, no, we've had a mantra, no finish line. They want more.
Hey, in fact, they seem like they're built for it. I've heard you guys talk about that, no finish line. What do you mean by that?
You know, after the first nine games of conference, the Missouri Valley has 18 games, and it's such a grind in that league. I mean, I really think that league is prepared us for this because every night the Valley is like an unbelievable defensive league, and it's really helped us on both ends. But after the first nine games, we were in first place, and I was asked the question about how does it feel going on the back nine being the one that's chased. And I just kind of said, you know, we don't look at it that way. We're still chasing. We haven't accomplished anything. We don't have any Missouri Valley banners. We don't have anything. We're still chasing. We don't have a finish line. And we kind of wrote it in the locker room and kind of drew it up, and the guys just have taken on this approach. We're chasing. No matter what anybody says, as someone's chasing us, you know, we feel we're chasing. We're chasing what we want, and I think that's just kind of been a mentality with the guys.
Porter Moser joins me for a few more moments. You know, you've been through some adversity before, and you said that one of the ways you get through it is with your family, and you were spending time with your family after the win over Kansas State. What's it mean to share this whole journey and experience with them?
My God, Jim. I mean, it's just crazy this how much it means. I got four kids. I got three boys and a daughter, and Andy Katz did a great interview on that's out there about my kids, and they interviewed him after the game. But I will say that's the funniest thing, because your life gets interrupted. My wife is like unbelievable because all four of my kids are in sports, and I'm, you know, she's taking them everywhere. And but I got a funny line I want to share with you. My 15-year-old son. So after the cutting down the nets, after everything, we're in the you know, it was about an hour and a half after the game. We're in the locker room. I come back from the podium for the media press conference. My son puts his arm around me and he says, "So, Dad, how's your day at work today?"
Great.
That's great. Great.
That's great. Four kids. You know, Porter, I know I've got a couple of kids, and I'm sure your wife, Megan, is like my wife, Janet. There's no way any of this works without having a wife that makes that thing go, right? I mean, I've got two kids in sports, and that's a full-time job in and of itself. So what's it mean to have her support and the level of support you have from both your wife and your kids?
It's unbelievable. You have to have that. I mean, I've known so many coaches in the profession, and it's very tough because there's sacrifices and the demands and pulls and the pressures and the ups and downs. And that's why I sought her out. I sought her out, and that was the first person. And, you know, I went and I bear hugged. She's been with me through all this journey, and you have to have that unconditional love and the pressures of this level and the pressures in the amount of times you're gone and, you know, you got to balance. And but I will tell you this, there's been no mistake that I think one of the keys is balance, because I understand my number one roles are as being a father and a husband, and that has helped me do my role over here and balance me.
Porter, how do you do it, though? I mean, the fact of the matter is you grind. I mean, all coaches work hard. You don't get to where you are unless you grind and you work hard. How is it even possible to achieve that balance when you have the demands that you have from that job and then from your family and your life?
You know, I just always been, from when I was a player to this, is just, you know, kind of what makes me tick is just high energy. And I just have always been that kind of guy. And, you know, I feel like I love one of my favorite quotes of anything this entire time run is one of my, Ben Richardson said to a reporter, he said, you know, Coach Moser doesn't take days off. His energy is there every single day. You couldn't give me a better compliment, because I just think that's the way you got to approach it. I just can't stand self-pity. I can't stand bad body language. It's just tough for me to swallow. And I've just always been that guy that comes into practice, comes into the day feeling good. And you just got to have that mentality and makeup to start your day.
Hey, Porter, have you always been like that? Were you wired for that? Or at some point in your life, did you decide that's who I'm going to be?
I've always been like that. But I tell you, your journey, there's times that challenge you. You know, my whole situation in Illinois State, you know, there's times it knocks you down. I mean, I'm not going to lie but what the thing, if you keep grinding, is adversity doesn't have to define you. You know, that whole situation didn't define me. I reinvented myself. And that's why I like talking to coaches. You know, I always try to call guys that have been let go. Because the next step of competitiveness, you're competitive in sports, is the reinvention can be another set of another area of competitiveness, of energy to reinvent yourself. And that's what I had to do. But I tell you, I went through a tough time. The grieving and part of adversity, that happens. That's normal. But what you got to do is fight back and not let it define you, and you can get better from it. And I'm better for what I went through. I wouldn't be standing here if that whole brutal adversity didn't happen to me in the profession, because it led me to Coach Majerus, which led me to Loyola.
I absolutely love that notion of reinvention. If, in fact, I don't want to jinx it, if, in fact, you win again, you come back on again, and that's where we start with this notion of reinvention. Or actually, no matter what happens the next time we talk, I want to ask you about that. Porter, I appreciate you. The story's amazing. Thanks for making time for the Jungle once again, and so good to have you back on. Good luck on Saturday.
Jim, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Have me again.
I would love to have you again, Coach. Great job. Porter Moser, he is the best. Man, the energy, the enthusiasm. Man, just the swagger, the mojo, the juju, whatever you want to call it. He's got so much of it, that thing that's hard to explain, but you know it when you see it. Hour number two coming up. Don't go anywhere. Bill Self, next hour. You're in the Jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Stay tuned.